The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, and you're going to learn a lot.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeer.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. How you guys doing?
Doing great. It's good to see you. You've been out for a couple of weeks.
A couple weeks. I've been on assignment.
You came back from Japan. You did,
I did
half the show, and then you were gone.
I know, right? I don't even remember why that was.
I do, and it was sad. It was it was the cat.
Yeah, unfortunately. We had to put down our cat, our white cat Shiro.
What was wrong with the cat?
Well, you know, he was getting older, and he had we don't know exactly what it was. It was either cancer or it was IBD. He was becoming incontinent. As a radio term you can use.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't handle it anymore. It was just getting to the point where, you know, you get the carpet cleaner out and you put it away and all of a sudden you got to get it back out again.
Poor guy.
It was bad. So I made the call, but we used a service. I don't know if they have this, all over the nation, but it was a service called Caring Pathways.
Right.
Have you guys heard of this service?
No, I haven't.
No.
So it is a service where they send a doctor to your home.
Whoa.
That will do the service for you at your home. So they come in, and right off the bat, I mean, you could tell that, you know, this guy was a professional. I mean, he'd come in and he was like, you know, very, very soft spoken, you know, just, hi, I'm here for Shiro, you know, let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to do here. You know, and then he would lay out a nice fluffy bed with a blanket. And we would bring Shiro down, and he was like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a few moments, and then I'm going to administer some sedative, you know, and then right into the kidney. And then at that point, then after he goes to a sleeping state, I'm going to administer the ketamine, which would then, you know.
End his life, yeah.
End his life. And that's what they did. But everything he did was very soft-spoken. It was very respectful, and it allowed us to let him go to heaven in a comfortable manner.
In your
home. In our home.
Yeah.
Not having to do it in like a veterinary clinic or whatever where he's already scared. So, yeah, we had to do that. So we did that, and it was sad, but we had to do it, and then we had him cremated, and we actually brought him home, and so he has an urn. And what was pretty sad was our other cat Kuro for the first few days while he was gone, you know, was kind of walking around meowing like, hey, where's Shiro?
That's sad.
But then when he came home and we put the urn up and we put a little shrine to Shiro with some pictures and things, and that's where his urn sits. Kuro went and slept next to it.
Oh man.
And
really?
So I was like, wow, that's powerful. Like he knows he's here.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to, you know, I don't think Caring Pathways listens to this show because we're not broadcast in Denver. But if they do, I really want to give a big shout out to Caring Pathways.
It's
amazing.
Really, it's, you know, that's a great, because I remember when it came time for our dog, we had, you know, to gather her up and take her to, and again, very scary for her. That drive is awful. And this is a great way for the family too, that they don't all have to try and convene at this place. They're at home, and I don't. That's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, and yes, I mean, truth be told, I'm sure there's listeners out there like, oh, that sounds amazing, but it sounds expensive. Yeah, it was a little bit more. I think we paid with the cremation included, and we didn't do a private cremation. What we did was individual cremation. So they had a bunch of animals in the crematorium,
right,
but they were separated a little bit, and then they would cremate them, and then they'd scoop out the ashes and stuff. So it was kind of like the middle of the road cremation. I think with the euthanasia and the cremation, it was like $650.
But still, again, it made it a little easier for the family to kind of. How's Eric?
Yeah.
How's it? Was that kind of rough for him too?
You know, he actually handled it pretty well. I mean, he cried for a couple different times, and throughout the, you know, weeks that followed, you know, there's a couple different times where we would be getting ready for school or whatever, and he would grab his picture and start crying and say, I miss Shiro and everything. And I get it. But no, he handled it pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, sorry you went through that.
No, I appreciate it. No, I mean, and you know, we went to Japan. We talked about the Japan trip and everything, and but no, we're back, and it's just been busy.
Yeah,
it's been busy.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on too. A lot of announcements. Last week on the show, Sean and I talked about some of the cool stuff. We talked about the fact that, you know, I was dealing with COVID, tested negative, so I'm fine now. Gloria's still on. That line is like really faint. We just had to do another. It's just like really faint, but it's still there. So I don't think she's going to be going back to work. Probably not for another couple of days.
Because she works in healthcare, right?
She works in healthcare. And that edict for that has been. Now, while some companies have been taking the whole task that, hey, listen, if you got it, wear a mask, you can come into work. And I know some companies have been doing that.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of people nervous. I mean, I got it in a situation at work. Somebody who got sick, she took off for 3 days after she had gotten sick, and I worked by myself, but it was enough in the room, enough. And then, of course, Gloria got it off of me 3 days after that, after I had gotten it. But, you know, it's still here. While people think maybe it's not, it's still here. You could still go online.
It's never going to go away.
Yeah, you could still get information about it. I mean, Sean, I don't think you've been touched by that yet. Have you?
No, but I've been touched by every other sickness that's gone through daycare.
Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I remember the kids.
Caitlin and I were knocked out for a couple of days about 2 weeks ago and just holed up. And Max was sick right before that. And, you know, RSV has been going around, which is
Eric's got that now.
A viral infection that kids get. And it can be deadly for toddler younger than 6 months. So, Max got that a couple months ago and it did its run. And then we got sick after that. So, we just had whatever he had. So a viral infection that just kind of stunk for a while. So,
yeah.
Sean, can I ask you just a quick question? So your son, Max, is his full name Maxwell
or Maximilian?
Just Max.
just Max, really? Just Max.
Just Max. Yep. We didn't want to give it any length to it. We just wanted to do Max, right? Because he's named after a couple different Maxes, right? He's named after one of Caitlin's great uncles, Max, straight Max. And then a Maximilian Kolbe.
Who's
who
that?
Was a Polish saint.
Oh.
Who gave his life up for prisoners in Auschwitz.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
nothing to do with Max Rockatansky.
No, he's Mad not Max. Maxwell, not yeah. Maximus the Gladiator. You know, none of that. Just Max.
Oh, not boy. HBO Max.
No,
not HBO Max. Not Max from Stranger Things.
Right.
Okay.
So if you guys have
not Max Headroom.
Max Headroom was great. I interviewed that guy once. He was so cool. I'll tell you something really cool. All right, you remember the Road Warrior? The second movie in the Mad Max series, Mel Gibson, of course, and he's in the wasteland, and there's oil tankers. You remember that one, Sean?
I mean, I'm sure I've seen it.
Right.
But,
there was a little feral kid in that, and that's what he was called, his feral kid. That kid, Emil Minty is the kid's name, is growing up. He bought himself something the other day in Australia, and I thought this is so cool. That's why I love social media because, I mean, get online, you could see what these people are doing today. I follow him on Facebook. He bought himself a V8 Interceptor Mustang that is only available in Australia. And I don't know if it has to do something with, you know, Mad Max or whatnot, but the license plate that he got on it, the last V8. On it, which is just super cool.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't follow him, Emil Minty, he's on Facebook. You can actually see the video there of him firing the car up, which just sounds so good.
Man, really. You know, cars.
My neighbor actually across the street just bought himself a Mustang Roush edition.
What is it? Oh,
so fully Roushed out. I mean, and when he starts this car up, it rattles my windows. And I'm not even talking about him revving the engine. I'm just talking about him starting the car up. It rattles the windows.
That's the way a car's supposed to sound.
Yeah, of course, right?
The Roush performance stuff is legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a beautiful-looking car.
Well, there's a guy that used to work at Ford, and he has taken the Ford Mustang GTO 67, 1967 GTO, and he has rebuilt it completely from scratch. He's selling this thing for $350,000.
Oh my gosh.
But it is, if you were to take a trip back in time to 1967 and buy this car, this is what it would be. Basically, it's just been completely rebuilt, you know, everything from scratch. And he was at Ford for like 17, maybe 18 years before he went off and did this, and people are loving it. And again, that's the thing about the internet. Now you can get online, you can buy a car online, you can bid on a car online, you can check out a car online, and you can even check out the electric vehicles that are running the sounds of these muscle cars.
It helped my dad source parts for his Volkswagen project, right? He had to find a front windshield for his Volkswagen bus, and he finally found a vendor online that was selling replica sized glass windows. And so he was able to get one and get it shipped and install it. So
you remember before the internet, what you'd have to do, you'd have to go to a junkyard, and hopefully that person knew other people, and they would just start calling people on the phone. I mean, I had a friend of mine that owned a junkyard in Palm Springs in Indio, and that's exactly what he would do. I remember I needed a part for my Toyota Celica, and he got on the phone. He didn't have any, but he found some guy in Riverside, not too far away. They shipped the part, and that's how you did it back then. Now it's everything is on the internet.
Yeah,
makes it kind of cool. That's kind of why we're here. There have been some cool things. Number one, Justin has been pretty excited because, well, you have all these announcements. You've got, you've got iPhone 14 Pro Max and the
Plus.
Wait,
I'm sorry. Line. I don't have an announcement about that.
Well, no, hold on. I'm just saying, you got all these. You've got, Samsung with its Folio and its Fold. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Google putting out their Pixel 7 Pro, making the announcement, which surprises me because you already got yourself the Google Pixel Watch. That was just announced, right?
I did. The Google Pixel Watch. I was watching the launch event October 6th, I want to say it was. I think I remember exactly what day it was. I was watching the event, and I was at work. So if my boss is watching, I'm sorry. Or listening, I'm sorry. But I was watching the event, and I was at the same time on my other monitor, I was refreshing the store page over and over and over and over again. And I got to the point where when I refreshed it, it showed Pixel Watch, and I'm like, bam, purchase. And so immediately I purchased the Pixel Watch, and, initially said it would be delivered, October 12th or 13th, October 12th, 13th came around, no watch. And then all of a sudden it was like 17th and 18th. And I'm like, oh, come on. So I got the watch on the 17th, and it was delivered. I had it actually delivered to my work because I didn't want it delivered to my house just in case I wasn't there to pick up the package.
Right.
So I had it delivered to work over at Waterworld. And it's funny is where I personally work is more the administration building. But when UPS and FedEx and other people, they come, they go down below at the bottom of the water park. Because again, it's a water park. Water flows downhill, right?
Yeah.
So at the bottom of the water park, that was the maintenance building, and that's where they deliver the packages to. So I had to get in my car and drive around the water park, go to the maintenance building, pick up my watch, and I was able to get it. So thankfully, yes, I got the watch. And
you had the Tick watch. And I remember you bought
I had a couple different Tick watches.
Right. And you bought that as a Kickstarter campaign, and you were very happy with it. What made you decide, I want to get this Pixel watch? What was the big thing about that versus maybe the Samsung or the Apple Watch?
Well, okay, first off, Apple Watch, no, because it's Apple. I'm not going to do Apple Watch.
All right.
No, that's the thing is they were saying that the Pixel watch was going to be the closest thing to the competitor of the Apple Watch. Now, the Apple Watch is the top of the market. I mean, you've got the Galaxy Wear or the Samsung Wear. I can't remember exactly what they call it. The Gear. You've got the Garmins. You've got the Fitbits, which Fitbit is owned by Google now. But you've got all those other watches out there. But the Apple Watch really was just that. That was the top-notch watch. If you wanted a smartwatch, it was the Apple Watch. This was the closest thing, everybody was saying, to a competitor to the Apple Watch. So I said, all right, that's the one I'm going to go for.
Pricing was actually pretty good, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I got the LTE model. So I can actually have it still operate without my phone. I can take phone calls. I can send text messages. Oh, nice. I get my notifications, even when I'm not anywhere near my cell phone.
So as I walk away, you know, if I'm out at the office and I need to walk away for a little bit, I don't have to go, oh, where's my cell phone? I can just leave it behind. And yes, as I walk away from it, it disconnects from Bluetooth to the phone, but then it LTE kicks in and I can still take all my phone calls from my watch. I can speak into the watch like Dick Tracy, you know,
right.
I can get the text messages. I can send emails, all that stuff. However, after wearing it for a few days, I gotta say I'm a little underwhelmed. Now, not with the performance. Performance is great.
Yeah.
It's very snappy. It's very fast, but it's small. 41 millimeter watch. Now, the Apple Watch, I believe, is a 42 millimeter, so it's not much bigger.
They have two different sizes, the 42 and the 47.
Okay, 42 and 47. Yeah, see, so I would rather... Look, I'm going to put it this way, man. If I'm going to get a smartwatch, I want the biggest face I can get. Because here's what happened. I got this on my wrist. I can't read it, guys. Because my eyes.
Yeah.
I can't see what it says because of my eyes. I'm so blind up close, you know, in these past couple years. I'm looking at this and I can barely make out the time and the date.
Is there a magnification feature on it, maybe?
Not really. No. I mean, the watch face, I can read the text messages, so I've set that to be the maximum, so I can read those. But if I just want to look up and see what time it is, as a watch should be, I can't see. Unless I use one of the super large watch faces that only shows the time. If I want to have one of these cool watch faces that shows the weather, the date, the step count, my calendar, things like that, I can't see it because the font is too small.
Yeah.
So what I ended up having to do, it's crazy to have to say this. Guys, I had to get bifocals.
Just to be able to read the watch. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did was, instead of having to put readers on, because I'm not going to put a pair of reading glasses on just to look at my watch. That's ridiculous. That defeats the purpose. So what I got was, and I'm not wearing them right now, but I got is a pair of regular old bifocals. So the upper part is a no prescription. It's straight through that I can see, because I can see in the distance, no problem. But if I look down onto the bifocal part, that's when I can see my watch and I have no problem seeing it.
Huh.
But it's crazy that I have to do that. And that makes me think, well, maybe they should have made this a little bit bigger.
Right.
You know, I think if they come out for the Pixel Watch 2 or 3 or whatever they're going to do, I would really love to see a larger watch face, and I all the way up to a 47 or even a 50 millimeter.
I'm kind of wondering, could they do an attachment on top of the watch face that would magnify? Like, so basically when you would look at it, it would automatically magnify that screen. I'm not giving you a heads up display, but again, bring all of that maybe bigger. But the problem is, Justin, you work in IT. Sean, you work in television and IT. I work in you know, radio, television, and IT. The problem is, with a larger watch face on it, you have a tendency to bang it against something. I mean, I'm getting old, obviously, to the point where I know, like when I was fixing the dishwasher, I see those marks that us older gentlemen get.
Yeah.
I'll call us a gentleman. You know, where you've busted the skin a little, because our skin is a little older. It's easier to do that. I can only think, though, with technology, if I bang that watch on something, I'm going to damage the watch.
So, yeah, that's a valid concern. I mean, these do come with a Corning Gorilla Glass cover, so it's supposed to help with scratches and dings. However, there was a guy that was on Reddit. His post on Reddit went viral. I don't know, maybe, Sean, you saw this, but the guy got a brand new Pixel watch, opened up the box to take the watch out, and you know how sometimes when you open a box, there's kind of creates a vacuum?
A vacuum, yeah.
Right? As you opening up that box, the watch stuck to the vacuum until the point where the box separated and the watch dropped out.
Ow.
And went face first on the floor and broke and just completely shattered the screen. And he's like, well, there goes $400, because that's not under warranty.
At all? Nope. You don't think they would cover that?
Nope. Google won't cover it.
Oh, man.
Yep. That's the problem.
So I opened the box. It was like this.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly, you know? Right? But yeah, his post went viral. You know, he broke his watch, and yeah, it sucks. But what I do like about the Pixel Watch is it's got a lot of room for improvement. So, you know, classic Google, they give you the base model, but what they do is it's, I don't even know how to say it. I mean, there's other companies that have done this before, but instead of just releasing everything all at once, what right. they do is they leave room for improvement. So they call it Pixel Drops. So on the Pixel phones, you know, it's got a lot of abilities that are locked until it's needed to be done.
Got it.
So you'll just all of a sudden one day you'll get an update and it says, hey, now you've got this ability. So one of the things that they were just talking about, I read this on an article today. This actually has the ability to do the blood oxygen content that the Apple Watch does. And the Apple Watch, I just read an article, said that this is the Apple Watch is as accurate as a professional medical device when it comes to measuring your blood oxygen content.
How does it do that without poking you?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a question that's for an engineer. But
yeah,
the Pixel Watch has that ability, but they have not released it. And so I'm thinking that as time goes on, as Google usually does, is they're going to start releasing more and more features until the point they release they get to the maximum, and then they're going to say, bam, now here's Pixel Watch 2.
Right.
Now, so they keep stringing you along.
How about the battery life right now? Because obviously that's, you're not happy. What do you throw that on a Q charger?
No, they does not. It has a proprietary charger that you have to get. And I actually got two of them. So I got another one for work. I got one for home. The battery life itself, I take that back. It doesn't suck. It goes for about 24 hours.
Okay.
However, with my schedule, so basically what I've been doing, because I like to wear it to bed because I want to get my sleep schedule. I want to see how I'm sleeping during the night. So what I usually end up doing is I'll put it on the charger either in the morning for about an hour. And that's the best part about it. For an hour, 1 hour gets you 80% charge.
Okay, that's good. That is good.
Yeah. But again, the whole battery itself, and if you use the always on display, you're not even going to get close to 24 hours. But I don't use the always on display. So take 1 hour in the morning after I get to work. I'll pop it on the charger when I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm reading my emails because I'm not moving around. I don't need my watch right then and there. So I'll charge it for about an hour, hour and a half, get to 100%, and then I'll wear it for another day. And then so my schedule now is I charge it in the morning after I get to work. But right. You do have to charge it every single day.
Now, do you find it integrates good with your Pixel device? Because you have the Pixel 6?
6 Pro.
Right. Does it integrate with that, or really it's standalone?
No, it integrates pretty well. I have to say that maybe it's just a misunderstanding on my part, but I feel like there's not a lot of apps that will send me the notification. So if I look at my phone, I may have 15 different notifications from 15 different apps. If I look at my watch, I've got 3. And those same 3 are on my phone, but the other, you know, 12 are not. So it's like, I feel like sometimes I actually have to go and download the app for the watch just to be able to get the notification. So it doesn't take the notifications from the phone. It takes them from the watch itself. So like, for instance, I've got a Snapchat notification
right
on my phone. I do not have a Snapchat notification on my watch.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So more on the phone, you're going to rely more on that. The watch, though, has got to be handy. I mean,
no, it does. It is.
I'm thinking, can you imagine one day that they will be able to create a visor or glasses or with a heads-up display?
Well, they tried. I mean, they tried with the Google AR glasses.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's pretty much tried that, where, you know, you tap a button and boom, there's a heads-up display of the time that's available. Sure. This just makes it more convenient. I like the fact that you don't have to have your smartphone with you. So that way, if you get called to another end of the room, you don't have to run back to get your smartphone.
I can just take the call right on my watch. And I actually tried it, and I actually was talking to somebody, and I was like, hey, blah, 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 blah. After we got done, when I met up with them, I'm like, hey, did you know that I took that call on my watch? And he's like, no, it sounded like you were just on your phone.
That's cool. Now, what about 2FA? So, because that's one thing I hate. I hate it if I put my phone down and I go in the other room and I have to log on to something and then it wants me to authorize it, you know, on my smartphone. Can you do that with the Pixel Watch?
I don't have that ability. I haven't not tried that yet. Probably with the Google Authenticator, it would work. But mm-hmm. I personally, at work, we use Duo and a little bit of the Microsoft Authenticator. And I have not so far seen one of those notifications pop up. So maybe I just have to download those apps to the phone. I don't know. But that's interesting. But I do have to say my favorite feature on the watch is the Google Pay, the Google Wallet.
Okay.
How's that I've added my credit card. It's the same way as Apple Pay works.
So you just put my wrist over the reader?
Yep, absolutely. Oh, same thing. And it's got near field communications, NFC. So I've done that. As a matter of fact, I was, I told you we'll talk about it later, but I was on the Amtrak train this last weekend. And I would just go buy something and I would just hold my watch. And it was so funny because the guy was like, "We don't take watch payments." I'm like, "Yeah, you do." And I come out and he's like, "Beep." And he's like, "Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. All right." Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably the coolest feature I think so far.
All right.
Now, with the Google Watch, you do also get a Fitbit Premium for 6 months. So you get all those extra features from Fitbit. Because, again, Google owns Fitbit. So you do get all those extra features with Fitbit.
Now, only for 6 months, though?
Yeah, after that, you pay for it.
All right. We're going to take a break. We come back. Want to find out more about that trip. What is it like to take the train and how to use technology on the train? Sean has got some good news. Something brand new again from...
The Wise Guy.
Wise. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Find us on the internet, techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So I took a train this last weekend.
No, what kind? Like a freight train or what?
Amtrak. Yeah, no, Amtrak. Well, you know, I wasn't being a hobo.
Yeah.
I actually took an Amtrak. So it's been a long time coming. I've wanted to do this. We were up hiking a few years ago up in the Rocky Mountains, and we saw this Amtrak train kind of snaking through the Rocky Mountains. And I thought, oh my God, that'd be so cool to do. So we started looking into it, and sure enough, you know, there's an Amtrak that leaves from Denver Union Station that goes all the way to, it's the California Zephyr. So it comes from Chicago, goes through Chicago, Nebraska, goes through Denver, through the Rockies to Glenwood Springs, Grand Junction, Salt Lake City, Reno, and then to San Francisco.
Now, is this the one that has that big observation deck on top too, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Oh, yeah.
So cool.
And it's got some private rooms, roomettes for two people and then rooms for four. But we decided just to go coach class.
All right.
So it was us and, it was a group of friends of ours. So we had, two people and their child as well. And then another group of our friends, that were just the two of them. And they happened to be just going at the same time. They were actually going up to Glenwood Springs, for their anniversary. And we're like, oh my God, we're going the same day. So we're like, well, let's just ride together. Right. So we all kind of got the seats together. So the train left at Denver like 8 a.m. We got to Glenwood Springs. It was a little delayed, about an hour. So we got there around 2:30 or so. But Glenwood Springs, Colorado, is very famous for, two things. One of them being that the Glenwood Springs Hot Springs Resort. So you got the natural hot springs from there, and it's got a nice big resort with a pool and that. And then the second thing they're famous for, kind of more of a geeky thing, is they're famous for a very famous YouTuber by Wendover, Sam Wendover, runs Wendover Productions. If you ever haven't seen him on YouTube, I would highly recommend looking up Wendover Productions, but he lives in Glenwood Springs. Anyway, so yeah, we get up there, the train. Yeah, never again.
Really?
No.
What was the issue?
First off, it's dirty. So we get on the train, we get settled into our coach seats, we wipe it down like we normally do with like an aircraft, right?
Yeah,
we wipe down the seat backs and the little tray tables and things like
take
that.
Take care of your area. Yeah,
take care of our area. We get that done. And the thing is, as soon as you get seated, you need to run to the lounge car. That's that observation deck, because mm-hmm. there's only a certain amount of seats that you can get. And then once they're full, I mean, they're full. So we got up there and we got a table. And we use those antibacterial wipes that you get, you know, that were made famous during COVID time, Lysol wipes, whatever. We would wipe the table with a Lysol wipe, pick it up, and it was black.
Ooh.
Then we would do another one, and it was black. And a third,
and a fourth and a fifth, and they were black. It was like taking off layers of dirt on these things. I mean, it was disgustingly dirty. And so finally we got to like six layers through, and we're like, you know what? All right, enough is enough. We're just going to sit here. I mean, yeah, thankfully we're all good. We're not sick or nothing, but it just was dirty. And in the restrooms, oh my God, don't even get me started on those.
Cause yeah, it's public restroom, right? Yeah.
I mean, it makes an airplane restroom look like a Ritz-Carlton. Okay, let's put it that way. It was pretty bad. But the trip itself was fun because we would only go like 44, maybe 45 miles an hour through the Rocky Mountains. But it was cool to be able to see all the colors of the leaves changing. And we're going through the Rocky Mountains. And so, yeah, I mean, it was, the experience was fine. The lounge car is where you could buy your drinks and stuff. So we all were on vacation, and we being with friends, we were all drinking, having a good time, whatnot. But, on the way back is where it got really interesting. So on the way back, so we left on a Friday,
right,
to go up there. We came back on a Sunday. We were supposed to leave Glenwood Springs at 12:05 PM. The train was delayed till 1:15 PM. So we were already, and by that time too, the storm was hitting. We had a big storm roll through. So it was already snowing and cold.
Oh, wow.
And the train station's got nothing to do. And we're sitting here with a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're losing their minds. So we had to go back into town, which, I mean, again, it's just across the street, really. But we went back into town to this little area where the kids could play. And we're standing right across from a brewery. And it was like 11:30 in the morning. We're like, should we? We're like, yeah, why not? We got nothing else to do. So we would go into the brewery, and of course they got kids games and things in the brewery, like checkers and, sorry and things like that. So
yeah,
we sat there and had some beers. We got on the train. We're going through, and I'm in the lounge car. I'm chilling by myself. We're already about, an hour into the ride. And my friend comes up to me. He goes, "Hey man, do you carry?"
Uh-oh.
I'm like, "What do you mean? What do you mean carry?"
Yeah. Open
like,
carry.
I mean, like, do you mean carry a weapon, or why would you ask me that on an Amtrak train? He goes, "Well, your family is sleeping back there. Your wife and your kid are sleeping in the guy next to on the other side of the train aisle is waving around like this 12-inch blade."
Oh,
and
my Lord.
He's just like, I mean, he's not being like super threatening, but he's banging it on the wall and he's looking at it and he's looking around and winking at people and things. And I'm like, we need to go tell the train conductor. So we ran up to the restaurant car, which is reserved for only the people that have the roomettes and rooms. We run in there. And of course, all the train staff was like, "Excuse me, sir, you can't come in here." I'm like, "We have a security incident." And I'm yelling and screaming. I'm like, "We have a security incident." She's like, "What?" So she calls the train conductor. He comes booking it down. This guy's ex-military, ex-Marine. He comes running. He's packed. He's packing.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm telling him what's going on. He's like, "All right, I need you. Go grab your family. Get your family right now. Take them. Pick them up, take them to the back of the train car. Everybody else clear out, blah, blah, blah." So we all walk back. I walk in first. I look over and this guy is kind of like, I mean, this guy's an older guy. He looks cracked out of his mind.
Right.
And he's waving around a knife and he's just kind of smiling at things. And Lord. I'm like, "Oh my God." So I grab my wife. My wife and kids are asleep. I go to pick him up. She's like, "No, what are you doing? You just fell asleep." I'm like, "Come with me right now. Don't say anything. Just come with me right now." And she's like, okay. So I get him. We go to the back of the train car. He comes in. The conductor comes in. He's holding his hand on his hip, where his gun is at. And he approaches this guy and he's like, "Give me the knife right now." And the guy's like, "Why do I have to give you the knife? It's not illegal." And he's like, "Yeah, it is actually illegal to bring that size of a knife on an Amtrak train. You can't do that." It got to the point where I literally thought this guy was going to pull his weapon. And finally, the old guy waving around the knife was like, "Oh, here you go." And he gave him the knife.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And at that point, I was like, so they were like, "Okay, we figured it out. We got the guy's knife. He's not a big deal anymore. He's not a threat, whatever." And I'm like, "I don't feel comfortable, man."
No.
Like, I'm not going to sit next to this guy. So they're like, "Well, if we had a roomette, we would give you a roomette." I'm like, "Well, there's six of us, four adults, two kids. We don't have room for a roomette because that's two people. Do you have any rooms available?" And he's like, "No, unfortunately, we're sold out." I'm like, "Well, then go block off a section of the lounge car and give us the lounge car for the rest of the trip."
Yeah.
Because normally what they do is at halfway through the trip, they tell everybody, "Leave the lounge car, let somebody else come in."
Yeah.
So they just, "Nope, you're good." So we had the lounge car the rest of the way back. But anyway,
That's scary, though.
Yeah. Never again.
Now, all right. What about the technology aspects of riding a train? It's funny because You know, I haven't been on Be Real for about 2.5, maybe 3 weeks. But I did notice that people would be taking the trains. And again, this could be all over the world. You would see somebody. Sure. And they would always be taking a picture outside the window. But their kids were in the foreground. And what were the kids doing? They were on their smartphones.
Yep.
They weren't even paying attention to this beautiful countryside that they were going across, traveling across. What about the technology aspects on the train itself, though? Do they have 5G? Do they have Wi-Fi? Do you have to pay for it? How does that work?
The same thing happened to me. I kept telling Eric, I'm like, man, come on, just look out the window. Look at all this beautiful stuff. And he'd take one quick glance out the window and be back on his tablet, you know? But I mean, so there's not a lot for little kids to do. And I guess the thing is, you know, how you raise them. If you raise them to never have a tablet, then yeah, sure, they're going to find something else to do. But if they know that they can play a tablet or a Switch or something, that's what they're going to want to do. So no, I mean, at least in our part, going through the Rocky Mountains, there's no cell phone signals at all.
Right.
There is an Amtrak Wi-Fi, but again, I think that's cellular based because anytime I didn't have service, neither did the Amtrak. So it's not like an airplane that uses satellite connectivity or anything like that. So no, there's really no communication at all on the train. Wow. And there's really not much you can do. And in fact, even the lounge car, at a certain point, the lounge car was like, all right, we're heading into the deep end of the Rockies. We're going to the Continental Divide. It's cash only until we get to Winter Park or whatever, because they couldn't do credit card transactions.
Oh, man. Who carries cash with them anymore?
Yeah, right?
Right?
So, yeah, it was interesting to say the least. I honestly think they would benefit from using something like, Sean, what's the Elon Musk one?
Starlink?
So we actually talked about this last week where they announced the aviation version of Starlink. So Starlink is going to be available for planes soon, personal and commercial. And they said that users that are on it can get up to 35 meg down.
You could do games.
You could game. Yeah. And they said, it's going to be it's going to be suboptimal, latency, but you could do most web things.
Any idea? Does anybody have any idea, though, like what Elon Musk and Starlink are going to be charging once these services are available to areas? And is Google still in the game, or is Google pretty much?
Oh no, Google just actually Google just they upped the ante. They're offering eight now?
Yeah, so
eight gigabits.
So they kind of when Google first started this, right, Kansas City won the bid to be the first city to have Google Fiber, right? So
right.
I believe it is 8 gig. I'll look it up, I'll look it up and confirm after the break. But I believe it is now 8 gig for Google Fiber if you have it in some places.
Wait, 8 gig download speeds?
8 gig up and down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so just a recap, if you're not familiar with this, before Google Fiber came along, you were limited to just Comcast or Spectrum or whoever else your provider was, and they would be like, oh, you know what? All we can offer you is the most we can offer you is 300 meg, you know, and it's like, well, why? And then all of a sudden, Google comes along and says, we can offer you a gig, and if I remember correctly, the original purpose behind this was not to make Google an ISP. They were not trying to become an internet service provider. What they were trying to do was shame the other companies into saying it is possible. Just get off your lazy bums and do it.
Yeah.
And so they did it. And people were like, whoa. And now all of a sudden, now you've got CenturyLink, Comcast, Spectrum, whatever the other providers. I mean, there's so many out there. They're all saying, oh, yeah, we can do a gig. And now everybody's become comfortable with a gig. And now Google's saying, oh, here you go. Here's 8 gigs.
I know Comcast.
Google announced that it is doing a two-tier. So they have 4 tiers now: 1 gig, 2 gig, 5 gig, and 8 gig. While starting in 2023.
Oh my gosh!
So, the 5 gig plan will be $125 a month. 8 gig will be $150 a month.
That is insane. That's so cheap.
Wait, how much for 8 gig?
$150 a month.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That's so cheap.
Yeah.
The services will first be available in Utah, Kansas City, and West Des Moines.
West Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah.
Did they make it Tucson? Come on. Come on, Google.
Yeah, right?
That would be good. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We come back. Something brand new from Wyze. Our Wyze guy, Sean, has got the info. Matter of fact, I think he's already got it on order. We'll tell you about that coming back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the Facebooks at facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is comedian Kathleen Madigan, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio, something I will never be listening to because I hate technology. But for those of you that do, these are your guys.
So we talked about internet speeds with Google Fiber.
Yeah.
So there's always a technology push to achieve the fastest speeds. So the speed record for data transmission using a single light source, which is fiber optics, right?
Right.
Has been shattered once again.
Okay. So and now we were talking about Google Fiber, 8 gigabit, you know, down and up. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But this is a little crazy.
Yep. And during the break, I was telling the guys about this, but I actually misspoke because I was reading an older version of the fastest speed. So this is from a couple, about 2 weeks ago, probably this article is written. Engineers have transmitted data at a blistering rate of 1.84 petabits per second.
Oh, my God.
That's almost twice the entire global internet traffic per second.
Yeah. So basically that means they say you decide, I want to watch a video on demand. I want to get Top Gun Maverick. You go online, you hit the order button, the movie's there.
Yep. Yeah, it'd be instantly on your computer. Now, you're going to be limited by your like drive speeds, right? Your drive's not going to be able to write that fast.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so they did it over a 7.9 kilometer, 4.9 mile optical fiber.
So all this talk about, oh, yeah, I got 2 gigabit. I got 1 gigabit. Like Justin was the first one I knew to get 1 gig up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably in another 5, 10 years.
You remember our speed comparisons we did, right? Ugh,
it was so weak. Yes.
Justin's getting 1,000 down and like 800 up.
Right.
And I'm getting...
No,
I'm getting
excuse me. 975 up.
Okay. And I'm getting a measly 100 meg down and 12 megabit up. Metronet has been digging fiber on the north side of our road.
Oh.
But not the south side.
Have you thought about going over there and slipping them a 20 and saying, could you dig some over here?
Yeah, so the neighborhood that's the main road that runs just north of our neighborhood, they ran it along the entire north length of that road. My coworker who lives on that side is getting Metronet. We're not getting slated to get it for like 3 more years.
We call you the wise guy on the show because you're always taking a look at the products from Wyze. That's WYZE. Now, we didn't even talk about this last week, Sean, that Roku and Wyze have entered into some kind of a partnership. Whereas Wyze providing the hardware, Roku doing the manufacturing and the packaging, and actually selling Roku home security systems now.
We haven't talked about Wyze in a long time, right? It's been a while since there's been anything from Wyze that's really piqued my interest, right? I mean, I bought the version 2 outdoor cam, which has been fantastic. And I did a full kind of a review of that for a while back. And it does great time lapses. I showed you guys the time lapses from that from last July. But they announced a new version of their version 3 camera. So Wyze Cam version 3 Pro. You know, it's $50. It shoots in 2K resolution, but only at 20 frames per second, right? So for a security camera, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. For something that's not moving, it's only got to capture a little bit of data at a time when you trigger it with motion detection or whatever. 2K resolution live stream. It works with the app. It's integrated. It works with everything you've got already currently in it. It has a built-in spotlight on it. So if you wanted it to put it in an outdoor location, it's got a built-in 80 lumen spotlight. So if you had it, say, out by your garage or out by your back slider door, like where I've got mine, it would, if it detected a person or motion, it would turn on that 80 lumens. About 80 lumens is not a lot, but it's enough. It's got the 89 decibel alarm. So if you trigger the alarm, it'll go off. It's got this new feature that they say, so if my camera detected something right now, it's using the AI in the cloud to trigger that action, right? It detects it. It sends it to the cloud. It determines if it's a person. It comes down to my app.
Right.
These are no longer using the cloud to detect those. It's using its own internal hardware to do all that processing. Near instant communication between the camera and your app. So it doesn't have to, there's not that lag of going to the cloud first and then coming back down.
That's kind of cool. That's one of the problems we had with the Ring doorbell when they first came out. Remember that, Justin, where we were, it was like so much of a lag that it was just, it was worthless because a guy would come to your door with a package and then he'd be gone by the time you got up and got that notification.
Yep. And I've seen that in the forums where people were like, it was 45 seconds ago and I just got the notification that somebody's at my front door. Hopefully this is a much better scenario, right? So they sent me an email saying, hey, you've pre-ordered a bunch of stuff from us before. Get this before everybody else has access to it. So they didn't do a pre-order. This is not a pre-order.
Right.
This is a add to cart and you buy it. The website says it starts shipping on the 4th of November. So I don't know when it might all ship. So we'll see. But it made it seem like when I paid for it that it was going to ship in like 2 or 3 days. So we'll see. But, you know, with I bought a 128 gig memory card for it because you can bundle it with a you can pay $15 for the memory card. And
what type now, what type of you have to make sure, and our listeners should know, if you're going to get any kind of a device that requires, whether it be a drone, whether it be, you know, a Garmin camera, whether it be a GoPro or even, you know, a Wyzecam, you have to get a specific SD card, a micro SD card for it. What is the recommended when it comes to speed? Is there a limit on those or a minimum?
The easiest thing to tell people is the class 10. So there's class ratings on memory cards. Most of the time you're going to get the highest class rating just because that's just what everybody uses now. But there's a little C with a U on it. It's like a weird looking U with a C on it. And it'll say class 3, class 4, class 5, class 10. Class 10 is the highest until you start getting into the Super 8 high capacity ones. But
right. You don't need that.
Yeah, you have to get one that can read and write as fast as your camera or device can write. Because if you get too slow of a card, you're not going to worry about that with smaller drones and these type of webcams. But you start getting into like DSLRs and higher end drones and stuff, you need a faster memory card because it needs to be able to read all the data that it's writing, that it's writing to it, and do it quickly.
This Wyze version 3 camera also has something that they're calling Spotlight. Well, you have the Spotlight, but it actually can take a face and it can figure out more detail about that person's face.
They introduced it with the Cam Plus stuff, Friendly Faces,
right?
Where and this is part of what Wyze was doing, right? They were encouraging people to sign up for, if your camera tagged a person, you could then submit it to Wyze saying, yeah, this was a person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then they introduced it where you could tag friendly faces, so it would actually identify friendly versus somebody that you're not normally seeing on camera. So like if Caitlin walked out the front door, it would say, this is a friendly person. I don't think it can do as much as like, this is Caitlin, but it would say like friendly person. And then if like the mailman came, it would say, we don't know who this person is. So
I don't know who this mailman person is, but get him out of here.
Get him off your doorstep.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just kind of scrolling through. You can just go to Wyze.com. It's right on their front page. It's, you know, IP65 water rated, so it could be outdoors.
You can put it outdoors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've got two cameras that are outdoors all the time. The outdoor camera, version 2, and a version 3 that is got the outdoor plug on it. I've had zero problems with them. I've got 4 of the light bulbs that are outside. They've been outside for over a year. You hear a lot about people that are frustrated because, you know, their devices to keep disconnecting or whatever. It's a lot of the times the issues that people have is they're trying to put the devices too far away from the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it can't get a good signal, or it gets a weak signal, and then it works intermittently, but then it can't reconnect. But then you may turn the router or turn the antenna and then it doesn't get a good signal at all. Right. So I've got a Netgear Nighthawk router. So I've got a professional gaming router and I've got it fine tuned for what I need it for, but I get decent coverage most of my house. I've had almost zero problems with my devices and the Wi-Fi. So am I one of the few that is lucky? Maybe, but I've also got, 15 or 16 color light bulbs, 6 or 7 normal light bulbs, 6 cameras, 2 outdoor cameras, the light strip. I mean, I'm running a ton of Wyze devices, and I don't seem to be having these Wi-Fi problems that everybody else has.
Now, I'm wondering, would you recommend Cam Plus? So I've got some people that I actually manage their camera for. They just want some, an eye to take care of it, but they didn't want to pay for the Cam Plus. So basically, get a notification, I'll pull it up, see what's going on, and that's it. I want to add my own Wyze devices because I've got my own to this, but I don't want to share it with them, but I want to add the Cam Plus on those devices. Can that be done? So you have multiple devices.
You can do CAM Plus per device. So you can go in, and I don't remember what the total cost is. You'd have to look it up.
Right.
Or you could say, I've got this many devices, and pay a set amount. So for 7 devices, I pay, I don't remember what the total is, but I pay yearly, and it was like just under, $200 for all the devices that I own for the year.
For a year, yeah. And you've got a lot of them.
Yeah, I've got a lot, so it's worth it for me.
Let me ask you, you mentioned, Sean, that you have the outdoor cameras, but you've also mentioned that you have like a Nighthawk router. The thing is, though, Wyze outdoor cameras don't utilize your home Wi-Fi. They have their own base station.
Correct.
Yeah.
How does that work with you? Because
the base station
connects
to that router.
Yeah, but the base station is where the cameras connect to. So the cameras do not connect to his Nighthawk gaming Wi-Fi router.
The older versions do. Some of them do. Not all the cameras connect to the base station. The outdoor cameras, like the actual outdoor version 1 and outdoor version 2,
right,
connect to the base station.
That's what I'm asking. Okay, so is that what you have, or do you have like the actual like regular cameras and you just put them outdoors?
I've got a couple version 2s. I've got a couple version 3s. Just connect
outdoor or
No. Just the regular in the Wyze cameras.
Okay, okay.
The version 3 is rated to be outdoor. So like, don't put it out where it's going to get rained on, but you can put it like under your eave.
Yeah.
And so it'll like the moisture won't get in. Then on top of those, I have the outdoor camera, which is an independent camera that I can take traveling with me if I want. It connects to a base station that I have to plug in to my router.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
With Ethernet.
Now the outdoor cams that they're not the actual quote unquote outdoor cams, the ones that are just the V3 cams that need to be plugged in all the time to work, are you powering those with solar panels or
it's got the waterproof jacket for the plug.
Okay.
And then I just plug it into an outdoor receptacle that I have that's rated to be outdoors.
Cool.
All right. Now the other two, and we'll talk about more of this after the break. The other two, the outdoor ones, I have the solar panel for.
Okay.
So can be powered indefinitely by the sun.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on, I don't know, Instagram?
Yeah.
Tech Talk Radio?
That works.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Before the break, I said something about the solar panels. I successfully used the solar panel up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to power my Wyze Cam for the entire week.
Oh, nice. All right.
I left it out and did a week-long time lapse, and during the day it charged, and overnight it drained the battery a little bit. And then I will suggest that if you're doing time lapses on the solar panel, turn off motion tagging, because the motion tagging is that little green box that says, here's motion.
Oh, boy, yeah.
That eats the life out of the battery. So if you're having bad battery life, and you're trying to use the solar panel, motion tagging off.
So website of the week. We're getting to this part right here. This website of the week. This is interesting. I think there's been something like this in the past. I can't remember the exact name of it or whatever, but this new website, it's called character.ai. And what this website is a way for you to go in and you can chat with AI characters of anything you want. So for instance, I'm looking at the homepage right now. I could play a survival game. I could talk to Socrates. I could talk to a chair, or even Minecraft Steve, or why not a refrigerator, or even Mario.
Really?
But you can go there and you can talk to these characters as if you were actually talking to that character. Now, again, it's just an AI. And so the chances of it being true to form, probably not the best. I was just having a conversation with Minecraft Steve, and honestly, it seemed like it was just a computer. It didn't really honestly feel like I was talking to Minecraft Steve. Now, if I go and talk to a refrigerator, it says, "Hello, fool. I'm a refrigerator. You can call me Fridge for short." I'm going to say, "I need milk." And it's going to say, well, it says, "Hello there. You've been looking for milk, huh? Well, I happen to be I happen to keep milk cold, so you're in the right place, and you're in luck because I happen to have a lot there's milk, so you don't have to worry about me not having any. Yeah, oh, it's got a lot of work to do. It's fun. It's a fun little thing.
Right,
it's called character.ai.
Perfect. All right, that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. Be back next week. We'll talk a little more about the iPhone 14 Pro Max, as well as the Folio, which I have, and it's still in the box. I haven't looked at it yet. So hopefully,
and Andy's going to send me his GoPro 11,
which has already gone back. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I already sent it back. Yeah. Yeah. I actually couldn't get the SD card to work with it. So that was part of my problem. I think a slow one. We'll see if we can get another one.
Sad day.
We'll see if we can get another one. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. Find us on the interwebs, Facebook and Instagram and stuff. I'm tired of saying this. It's Tech Talk Radio. We'll see you next week.
I feel bad. I've let Sean down.